Okay, good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to our ITG meeting for December. And before we go on to the topics, there were just a few admin-y style points that I just wanted to raise with you. The first one is the life of the ITG, because we've been getting quite a few questions about that. So what we just wanted to do was to explain our thoughts on that. So, as we've said previously, today is the last scheduled meeting of the ITG. We haven't been overwhelmed with questions. We're up to date with the submission log, which is on the website. And so we don't plan to hold any more meetings. Having said that, as we've always said, we don't plan to disband the ITG either. The ITG will stay in place in terms of its members. And also, we don't plan to remove the ability to submit questions. So what we plan to do is to keep the page that we have on our website so people can continue to submit questions that they've got on the application of the impairment requirements in IFRS 9. We'll continue to keep a log of the questions as they come in, and we'll decide what we need to do about the questions that come in, whether we need to do any work on educational materials or what we need to do, and that could possibly lead to a meeting in the future. But as I said, at the moment, the intention is not to hold any more meetings. But we will, that through that means, at least be aware if there are open questions that we think we need to activate. We'll also be listening to questions in the market, so we'll keep watching what's going on. The other thing I wanted to update you on was at the September ITG meeting, we had one issue where the ITG agreed that the requirements in IFRS 9 were clear, but where some raised observations about whether there would be a disconnect between what the sort of economic picture of expected credit losses might be relative to what the requirements of IFRS 9 would require you to calculate. You might remember it was a discussion about revolving type facilities and whether you could look above the sort of strict contractual amounts. And the ITG had confirmed that you couldn't look at drawdowns in excess of the contractually agreed credit limit. So what the staff did was they brought a paper to us that was discussed at a public meeting where the economic position was put to the board and the requirements of IFRS 9 were outlined for the board to look at. And the board noted the issue and concluded that the requirements of IFRS 9 were clear, and given that we have a very high hurdle to reopening things, decided not to take any actions, but did take note of the observations of the ITG. Then I just wanted to talk about a couple of things to do with the sort of running of the meeting today. So we've got quite a full agenda today. I think some of the issues we could possibly discuss quite quickly, but I think some others might take quite some time. So what I would like to encourage us to do is to try and stick to confirming principles in IFRS 9 rather than raising specific example products, fact patterns, particularly because many of them will be jurisdiction specific. I'm not sure if it's that helpful for people listening if we sort of opine on individual instruments, because we might miss something or it might not be exactly how the product would work that they would look at. So I might rein you in if you try and go on to two specific fact patterns, but with good intent, because I want to make sure that we're clear on what the principles are to maximise the use of the discussions for people when they're applying IFRS 9. The last thing I wanted to do in terms of admin was to comment on the approach to the minutes that we've taken in the past and my thoughts for the minutes for today's meeting. So I think people have found the minutes a helpful device in terms of being a quick way of looking at what was discussed at the ITG and the key takeaways from the ITG. For those who don't want to go through the pleasure of listening to our full tape, which is also available on the website. But also, obviously, it's important that we capture the key decisions and discussions that we all agree on in the room. So with that in mind, what I plan to do again today, like I did at the meeting last time, was at the end of each topic, I'll try to summarise what I heard as the key takeaways on each topic. Just so you know, we will be using that as the basis for how we write up the minutes or the summary of the meeting. So firstly, importantly, if you think I'm telling fibs, it wasn't what the group said, please tell me. But also, equally importantly, if you think there was something important that was said and I didn't include it, please let me know, because chances are if I don't include it in the summary, it's not going to be in the minutes. And so if it's dear to your heart, better to let me know today so you're not disappointed in the future. So just to flag that. Pema, did you have anything to add?
No, nothing. Just a quick reminder as before that the fact patterns are the submitters. It's not blessed by the ISB or the staff. Last but not the least, you've got the submissions log. We have left a copy. We are up to date. All of the issues are in front of you. So as Sue said, we have got quite a full day. So I think if there are any questions, let's start off.
I guess first, does anybody have any questions or observations, reactions to anything I raised? Bill?
So no, it's all very clear. No questions. I thought that just before we start the day, what we should acknowledge is the strong work that the staff have put in terms of preparing the papers. I think they're high quality presentations. Should help to sort of facilitate the discussion, and I think they bring out sort of core implementation challenges. So just to note that.
Thank you for acknowledging that. I think they've also done a great job, but I'm a bit biased. It's nice to have that confirmed by others.